So we're on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, but first we have to finish up a little bit on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph.
Yeah, the whole matrix of possibilities.
Right, we had all those possibilities that I'm not going to go over now. Just the final psak, and that's a machlokus between Abaye and Rofa, and we'll see this if you count down from the top of the page. It's approximately 10 lines down from the top of the page, and the Gemara says "My Havi Allah," which means what's the final conclusion. So again, we're talking about a case in which he has to recite both Havdalah for Shabbos and Kiddush for Yontif, because Yontif fell out on Motzi Shabbos. And the most perhaps fundamental issue that we dealt with is which comes first, Havdalah or Kiddush. Rav, for example, and Levi and others agreed with him, was of the opinion that we start with Kiddush. And the Gemara explains this in the following way. So, once again, we have the fundamental issue of what comes first, Havdalah and Kiddush. On the one hand, one would argue that Havdalah should come first. And the reason for that is that first, when the king comes to town, and now he's leaving town, you offer him Leviah. You give him an escort. And now the Tsar, right, who's a secondary level, now he's coming into town. So when he comes into town, you go out to greet him. So therefore, what we want to do is we want to start with Havdalah, in which we escort the king out, and then we go on to Kiddush, and we welcome the Yontif. So if you take a look at Abaye, the Gemara quotes Abaye, and he says, Yayin Kiddush Zman Ner Havdalah. We're going to have to talk about the Zion of Zman in a minute, but just fundamentally, what happens with Abaye, and we'll see this in Rava in just a minute as well, we're going to start with Kiddush, and then, and only then do we proceed with Havdalah. And the reason for that is if we start with Havdalah, it looks a little bit odd, like we're saying goodbye to Shabbos as soon as we possibly can. So in order to postpone Havdalah and hold on to the Shabbos as long as we can, we begin with Kiddush, we accept upon ourselves Yontif, and then we go ahead and we recite Havdalah. Rava, Omar Yaknahas. Okay, now Rava also agrees to Rav's position that Kiddush comes before Havdalah. We don't want to say goodbye to the Shabbos too quickly, so we want to recite Kiddush first and be makabel the Yontif. And then after Kiddush comes before Havdalah, we want to set up Yayin first, because Yayin is always the kickoff of Kiddush. And then we go on to Havdalah. Now, what we have to understand is the following. Rava says that although we're starting with Kiddush, nevertheless, Zman, which is Shechiyonu, which is certainly going on the new Yontif that's coming, should be left until the end. Intuitively, Abaye makes more sense. Abaye says that before you get to Havdalah, first begin with Kiddush, and Kiddush, of course, ends with Shechiyonu. Mm-hmm. So therefore, in the Seder HaKiddush, it makes sense that you do Yayin, Kiddush, and then Zman, and that completes the Kiddush process. And now,
you have two entities, you mean? You have, like, Yom Tov, and then you have...
And you have saying goodbye to Shabbos. So as far as Yom Tov is concerned, if you're starting with Kiddush of Yom Tov, correct? If you're starting with Kiddush and Yom Tov, then it makes sense that you finish the Kiddush, and the normal Seder Kiddush has, for any Yom Tov, Zman at the end. So Abaye says, Yud Kuf Zayin. That's regular Kiddush. And now you're ready for Havdalah. So Havdalah is going to be Ner and Havdalah. Why then does Rava change the order? So before we get to that, let's just think about the following. What is the gorem, what is the what generates the Zman, the Shechiyonu? It's certainly the Kiddush. So therefore, if Kiddush generates the Zman, and the Bracha of Shechiyonu is a result of Kiddush, why should we jump the gun and introduce Havdalah here, pushing off Shechiyonu? And Rava answers the following. Rava says, no, we want to push off the Zman until the end. Why? Because we have a certain Seder of Kiddush, and in this case of Kiddush of Yontif, we should recite Zman at the end, at the very end of Kiddush. Now, according to Rava, once we need Havdalah, which means right Ner and then Havdalah, you'll notice, of course, that Besamim is left out at this point because we're not really saying goodbye totally to the Neshama Yisera. You know, we're going into Yontif, so we'll leave out Besamim in this case. Havdalah now is reduced to simply two brachas, Ner and Havdalah. So Birkas Hazman should be recited at the end. Why? Because we have here a Kiddush of Yontif, and we always recite Zman at the end of Yontif. Now, what would be, for example, if he didn't have a kos? Normally, when it comes to both Kiddush and Havdalah, we must have a kos. Now again, when I say we must have a kos, what I mean is that we're not talking about the mitzvah of Kiddush itself, or the mitzvah of Havdalah itself. That mitzvah, in both cases of Kiddush and Havdalah, we fulfill even without a kos. But that's already integrated into tefillah. That's called Zachar Es Yom HaShabbos HaKadshu Zachreyu B'Knisosu V'Zachreyu B'Yitziosu. So that has nothing to do with a kos. But we're talking about the additional Kiddush beyond the Kiddush that he recited in tefillah. And the Havdalah addition to beyond Havdalah that he recited as part of the fabric of Tefillah of Shemoneh Esrei. In both those cases, we need a kos. So for example, if you don't have a kos, then drop it. Don't even bother with Kiddush. Don't even bother with Havdalah. Yen Yibayotze, your Ikar, primary chiyuv with the Havdalah or the Kiddush in davening. That's fine. In the case of Zman, though, Zman really has nothing to do with the kos. They only set it up on the kos in order to make it easier, to make sure and guarantee no one will forget Shechiyonu. But the lashon of the Gemara is that afilu b'shuk mevarech zman, that Shechiyonu should be recited even if you're in the shuk, meaning you're not sitting down and making Kiddush. So in other words, what we want to do is, according to Rava, yachnahaz means we want to set up all the brachas on the kos. And then, you know, independent of Kiddush and Havdalah, we're going to recite Zman as a separate entity. As, in other words, even if you were in the Shuk and you weren't reciting Brachas Alakos, we would recite Zman. Shechiyonu
itself, sorry, the concept doesn't always need a kli, does it?
Right, it doesn't need a kos. There's no din of kos with regard to Shechiyonu. It's just a matter of, shall we say, my English is going on me here, but it's a matter of expediency, so to speak. It's just a technical, pragmatic consideration why we recite the Shechiyonu ala kos. The Shechiyonu is on the Yontif itself, or on Shabbos itself. Well, not on Shabbos, but on Yontif. And therefore, it has nothing to do with the kos. So Rav insists that first we organize our brachas on the kos. And there are two brachas, which break down into four brachas, that are on the kos, and that's Kiddush and Havdalah. Those brachas urgently and indispensably need the kos. Now we finish with the kos, now we're ready for Zman. Again, you can say Zman whenever you want. You could have said it before Kiddush, you could have said it after Kiddush, you could wake up in the middle of the night and recite Zman, whenever you get a chance. They organized it in a pragmatic way all over the kos. But it's not that you need the kos, and the kos generates the Zman. So basically, the machlok shin Abaye v'Rav is the following. Abaye wants to maintain the standard Kiddush. And the standard Kiddush was organized in such a way that Zman ends the Kiddush. And therefore this Yontif night is no different than any other Yontif night. And therefore we're going to recite Zman right after Kiddush. Logically, intuitively, Abai is correct. Comes along Rav and he says no. He says, you know what, I need Havdalah urgently. It's true that we're going to start with Kiddush first and then go to Havdalah. But nevertheless, Havdalah must be recited immediately. Why? What's the pressing urgency of Havdalah? The kos itself. Because Havdalah has to be organized over a kos. So now you recite Kiddush and Havdalah. And what are you left with? Zman. The Zman is independent of the kos. It stands on its own two feet. And therefore, leave it out. Don't wedge it in the middle of all these brachas that have to be organized together on the kos.
So Rabbi Zafka making a point of it. At the end, you're showing that it's in a way independent, or it doesn't really require.
Correct. Doesn't require a kos, and therefore, if you would, according to Rabbi's logic, if you do it the way Abaye, recommends, the way he advocates, then the Zman really wedges between the Kiddush and Havdalah as far as the kos is concerned. Our main focus is to organize the brachas on the kos. And now you're taking a bracha which is totally alien to the kos, has nothing to do with the kos, a bracha that would be recited even without the kos, and you're wedging it between the first two brachas and the last two brachas, all of which need the kos. So first, let's organize the brachas. I'll say there are kos. After you recite the kos, then you have to recite Shachriyanu on the new yontif. Fine. So you recite yontif on the zman on the new yontif.
So in such a sequence, according to Rava, with
Shachriyanu
is always last.
Shachriyanu has to be last, and the reason for that is because if you do it the way Abaye has it, then you're going to mess up because you're not going to have the four brachas that you need on the kos. And the Gemara Paskins v'Hilchasa Kirava, that we actually accept Rava's view, and that's called Yaknahas Yayin Kiddush Ner Havdolin Zman. It's something that it's almost as if we know it by heart. He says here in the Ein Mishpat, you see the Ein Mishpat on the top left? You should have that, everybody.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know if you use it. It's a great tool. And he tells you, if you want to look in the Rambam or in the Shulchan Aruch, here's where you should look. So he has Perek Chof Tes, Milcha Shabbos, Halacha Chof Beis. And that's almost at the very end. The Rambam has 30 chapters in Hilchas Shabbos. This is the 29th chapter. And that opens up the book of the Zmanim. The Rambam has 14 books. And Zmanim is all the dinim of Shabbos and Yontif. So if we take a look here at Halacha Chof Beis, we're talking about organizing a great blessing, because Chazal say that when Adam Rishon, Adam Rishon was born right before Shabbos, and during Shabbos he was in a state of terror because it was very dark, and only after Shabbos he created the H. So every Motzei Shabbos we commemorate that bracha of Bori Moreh. So that's gigantic, and that should come first before Besamim. Besamim is a secondary bracha to try to give us a little pump us up a little bit.
Yeah.
After we forfeited the Shavu Yisera, but so it's both Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai that agree that the bracha on the Moreh Yareh Eish has to come before the Besamim. Ani Rava Basrei, the word Basrei usually means after him, but it means immediately after him. And Ani means he gave him an answer. He shot off the answer immediately. V'Omar Zu Divrei Rabbi Meir, your recording of the machlokas here between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai is only that of Rabbi Meir. Aval Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo nechleku Beit Shammai Beis Hillel al amazon shehu betchila. First of all, says Rabbi Yehuda, let's get the record straight over him. Birkas Havazon cannot be wedged in the middle of Havdalah. It has nothing to do with Havdalah. Nobody would say such a thing. But rather we ask the question, which came first? What's the first chiyuv? Is it Birkas HaMazon or is it Havdalah? Well, Birkas HaMazon is connected to what, Rabbosai? to the Suda. So the Suda came first. So Birkas Avosan has to come first. And that's going to be the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lo Nechku Beisul Beit Shammai Al Mazon Shehi B'Tchila. So Birkas Avosan has to come first. He finished his Suda. He's chayv to recite Birkas Avosan. That has to come first. And by the way, it's fascinating to me that the Mefarshim here apply the principle called Ein Mavirin Al Mitzvahs. Now, what that means is that if I have... What?
Well, you can't pass your hand and pass a mitzvah.
Right. If you have a mitzvah that's here, you can't put it on the side and jump over it and get yourself another mitzvah. First fulfill this mitzvah. And that...
Is that really right here, though?
You can ask my kasha. I'm very happy. Yeah, what's...
In my opinion, is like, you take out your shaliyad, you can't pass over the shal rosh to reach your shaliyad. You can't...
So you have two cheftzes right in front of you, right? You can't pass over one cheftz to get to the other cheftz if there's a mitzvah of the first cheftz. Here, you know, you're asking a different question. You're asking in terms of the time sequence, which chiyuv emerged first. And... You know, the Gemara says in the name of Yehuda that first Mazon, Birkas HaMazon has to come first, and I can accept that. But you know, when you activate the principle of Ein Mavir Al Mitzvahs, if you want to underline this, it's four lines up from the bottom of the page. If you have your own Gemara and you don't mind underlining, I have a pencil if you want.
This is the
LC
Gemara.
Oh, so then you can't mess around with that. But if you have your own Gemara, it's four lines up from the bottom. You'll see in the middle of the Rashbam, he says Ein Mavir Al Mitzvahs. And that's an interesting thing. So the Rashbam apparently expands the scope of Ein Mavir Al Mitzvahs to apply whenever you have two chiyuvim and one chiyuv came before the other. See, this was the whole story about Avraham Avinu. You remember in the beginning of Parshas Vayera, Hashem comes to appear to Avraham Avinu, and now he has the mitzvah Achnos Zorchim when the three Aravim come around. Yishmaelim come around. So you don't know what to do, right? So in truth, since he picked up the first mitzvah, Zayn over and Ala mitzvahs, he shouldn't have gone out. But the Mefarshim say that again, according to one school of thought, when it says Al Ado, and then it says Noi Al No Tavor Me Al Avdecha, that word is Kodesh, and he's talking to Hashem, and he's asking Hashem for permission. You know, God, please don't abandon me. I just have to quickly take care of this mitzvah and get back. You know, you have two mitzvahs and you want to know which comes first, and you picked up one, then, you know, you don't have a problem of ain over mal and mitzvahs. So this Rashbam is a very major, a great expansion to the principle of ain mafir and al mitzvahs. But in any event, the bottom line is you got to start with Birkas HaMazon. Oh. Then he says, "Al Havdolah Shibasof." There's no debate about it. Havdolah has to come at the very end. Al Ma Nechleku. What's the machlokes? And this is going to get Rava very excited because this is going to support, at least Beis Hillel is going to support Rava's view that first comes B'Samin, right. And it says the following: Al Ma'or v'Al B'Samin Beit Shammai Omrim Ma'or v'Achakach B'Samin. Because again, as we said before, the praise for the fire and the benefit you get from it is that much greater than you get from smell. It's nice to smell good things, but that doesn't compare. If you pardon the pun, it doesn't shine a candle to the Eish of Ma'oriah Eish. Ubeis Hill Omrim B'Samin v'Achakach Ma'or. B'Samin comes first. And why is that? Because what do I need desperately right now? According to Beit Shammai, I need the Ma'ar desperately. It's pitch black and I don't have any light. I need to light the fire, light the torch. And therefore Ma'ar comes first. But according to Beis Hillel, B'Samin comes first because B'Samin is what's called Tadir. We have a principle called Tadir V'She'eno Tadir Tadir Kodim. That which is more common comes first. And again, maybe today we don't have the same kind of culture, but in those days they were constantly smelling B'Samin, they would burn incense, and all this kind of stuff. So therefore, although the Eish bracha comes once a week, but during the course of the entire week, almost on a daily basis, they would make a bracha on B'Sam. That's called Tadir V'She'enot Tad. That's one way of explaining why Beis Hillel insists on making the bracha on B'Sam. The other way of saying it is that B'Samim itself is a kiyum of covered Shabbos. Why? Because I'm making a statement that the great Shabbos with its Nesham Yisera was taken away from me. Now you might ask, well, this is part of Havdalah, covered Shabbos is during Shabbos. The answer is that the Ramban points this out in his Pirush al Torah, that Zochar Yom HaShabbos L'Kadshah means the whole week we have to remember Shabbos. So anything that we do during the course of the week to indicate the great honor that we have for Shabbos, that's called a kiyum of Kvod Shabbos. And therefore, when we lost the Neshama Yisera, and we make a statement to that effect that we have to make a bracha on B'Samim, that's called Kavod Shabbos. And then, V'yachach Ma'ar, then we could recite the bracha al Eish. So now it comes out that if we accept Beis Hillel, then we understand Rava, and that's our minute, by the way. I just opened up the siddur just to make sure. And in truth, we make B'Samim before we make Bori Mori Ha'ish. I don't need the siddur for that because I should know by heart by now.
Yaknahaz.
And Omer Rabbi Yochanan Nagu Ham Kibay Silva Libid Rabbi Yehuda. So the Shita of Rabbi Meir is not accepted La Locha. And in fact, Rabosai, we don't really understand the machlokas between Beis Hillel Beit Shammai according to Rabbi Meir. Let's go over it one more time and see if we can make any sense out of it whatsoever. He says that they both agree that Ma'ar comes before B'Samim. That again, that I can accept. I can learn to live with that because Ma'ar is a very basic thanks to Hashem. And the machlokas is going to be with regard to Birkas HaMazon. Where do we insert the bracha of Birkas HaMazon?
So they started the meal on Shabbos.
What do you say?
They started the meal on Shabbos?
Yeah, for sure.
So they didn't make it say if they did it there?
Oh, that's a brilliant question. Wow, I didn't even think of that question. How could they recite Ritzeh after they already lit the fire of Havdalah? Wow, that's pretty brilliant. I don't know the answer to that question. I'm going to try to think about that. But in any event, I was going to ask a slightly different question, and that is, why Birkas HaMazon...
Is it at the beginning?
Yeah, why not? First of all, two questions really. They're two halves of the same coin, two sides. First of all, why not begin with Birkas HaMazon? After all, we made a big deal about the fact that Ein Ma'avir Al Mitzvahs, or at least the fact that first you have the chiyuv of Birkas HaMazon, and only then do you have the mitzvah of Havdalah. So Birkas HaMazon comes really from the suda that you ate on Shabbos itself. And then the second question is, okay, if for some reason, which I don't know what it is, but you have a compelling svara to say that Havdalah has to come before Birkas HaMazon, then why not put Havdalah at the end? And then, you know, it's strange, according to Beit Shammai, we start with one bracha of Havdalah, and then we put Birkas HaMazon. According to Beis Hillel, we go through two brachas, and then we put Birkas HaMazon.
You mean put it completely at the end of Birkas HaMazon, make a logical sequence?
Yeah, I mean, if again, it should be one or the other. Either you start with Birkas HaMazon, which is what we saw in Rabbi Yehuda's version, and that made sense, or if you want to make sense out of starting with Havdalah, maybe I could make an argument for that, you know, that first we have Havdalah, fine. But to take Birkas HaMazon and wedge it in the middle of Havdalah, that seems to be a very strange kind of thing. My impression here is, again, this is not, I'm not saying that this is absolute clarity, but just to get started here in this discussion, is that for some reason, Havdalah is very pressing. But on the other hand, we can't push off Birkas HaMazon. So we have to grab it from both ends. You have a rope and you want to be tofes mishtei haktzot. So what do you want to do? You want to immediately start Havdalah because for some reason Havdalah has to begin, and that's pressing. But on the other hand, you're not allowed to postpone Birkas HaMazon because that's the mechayev that came first. So in terms of Hilchus Manim, okay, Birkas HaMazon is not urgent. Havdol is very urgent, because with the very termination of Shabbos, we have a Chiyuv Havdolah. So Havdolah becomes time sensitive. I need Havdolah. On the other hand, even though I need Havdolah, it's a little bit strange, to say the least, that I'm going to postpone that mitzvah which emerged first. The Chiyuv that came first is Mazon. So we need Havdolah first because that's time sensitive. But on the other hand, Birkas HaMazon was the first chiyuv and Eimah Virnal Mitzvah. So we have to somehow grab it from both sides. So I'm just wondering if we could possibly close this door. Okay. I could hardly hear myself think. I didn't know. Okay. I didn't know that there was a shir going on at this time. Is there always a shir at this time? I never noticed that.
Every week.
So how come I never noticed it? Okay.
Same time, same place.
Maybe because the door was usually closed. I don't know.
Yeah, so the Rashbam said this case is talking about there's only one coast.
Okay. And how does that help me? That's how I was wondering why that Rashbam helps me. I'm not sure. But let me just think about one thing. There was one idea that I wanted to share with you, and I got a little bit distracted, so let me just see if I can get it back into my head. So now we have Nair, and the Nair is going to be what? The Nair is going to be the mitzvah of Havdolah, because right now I need Havdolah, and once I apparently start the Havdolah, I fulfilled that. You know, I was yotzi that bill, so to speak. You know that I owe it to begin Havdolah, and now I can get back to the first chiyuv that emerged, and that's Birkas HaMazon. So comes along Beis Hillel, and they say, wait a minute, if you're telling me that you need urgently to recite Havdolah, the reason for that is you want to terminate. You have to terminate Shabbos with that bracha. So you have to thank Hashem for two things.
At least take both of them. You need both.
Yeah, you have to thank Hashem for the ma'ar that's the nature of saying goodbye to Shabbos. And if that's time sensitive, you have to say goodbye to Shabbos by praising Him first for the ma'ar, and secondly for the besamim. Again, we're going to ultimately switch the order around, but that's not the point. So Basil says, okay, now you have to be yotze zayin. You know, you can't wait until the end of Havdolah. You have to demonstrate that you're absolutely committed to recite Birkas HaMazon, and therefore you're going to recite Birkas HaMazon after Ner Ubesomim. Beit Shammai say, no, let's just start the process of Havdolah. You know, I need lip service, so to speak. I have to recite one single bracha, but then I have the chiyuv that's first and foremost, and that's the chiyuv of what? Of Birkas HaMazon.
Which should also be done so urgently because it came first, that it even breaks off between Ner and the song, which naturally come together, usually. Please according to it,
right.
Come together.
Because again, somehow I have to avoid violating the Eimah Virnal Mitzvahs. I might be insulting the Birkas HaMazon, which really should be attached directly to the Suda, by postponing it. On the other hand, I must thank Hashem for Havdolah, because although the Chovas Gavra, as far as the person is concerned, the first Chovas Gavra was Birkas HaMazon by virtue of the Suda, but on the other hand, in terms of Hilchus Zmanim, the one mitzvah or bracha which is absolutely urgent is Havdolah. And I'm thinking something else right now. Let's just think. There's also one cuss, as Yehuda said before. Now, let's just think about the cuss. The cuss is now serving a double function. Is that correct? Because I need the cuss for Havdolah, and I need the cuss for Birkas HaMazon. Maybe according to Rabbi Meir's version, you know what? The cuss is much more important for Havdolah than it is for Birkas HaMazon. Are you with me? Because you can be Yotze Zayin Birkas HaMazon without a cuss. You can't be Yotze Havdolah without a cuss.
And you said it also, right? If you don't have one cuss, they serve different purposes, right?
Correct. That's okay. I don't mind if they if you know the cost of Birkas Hamazon is related to the Suda, the cost of Havdol is not related to the Suda. That's what the Gemara called. What was the Gemara's language? Trey, right?
Milta.
A Trey Milta. It's not Chara Milsa like Havdol and Kiddush. Just 1 second. Then Havdola and Kiddush is Chad Milsa. Whereas Birkas Hamazon and Kiddush is Trey Mili. Oh, Trey Mili means two chiyuvim on the kos that are identical. So you can't fulfill two chiyuvim on the same kos because that would be a violation of what do you call it, of chavila. So that's why that's how we interpreted Trey Mili Ninu. Trey Mili Ninu. So what I'm suggesting here is that we have no problem organizing all these brachas on one kos because it's chad mili. And the reason for that is because the need for a kos in order to set up a suda is uniquely related to Birkas HaMazon, but the kos for Avdol is just a different concept of Seder Brach al kos, as we discussed. But at the end of the day, we're going to recite all these brachas on one kos for one reason or another. You know, some of these brachas belong to one reason and one machayev, the others belong to a different machayev. But nevertheless, you're gonna recite them all on the kos. So now we have a funny kind of a situation here, where we're going to drink the kos. Just trying to think if this would help us understand Rabbi Meir. We're going to have to drink the kos. And that drinking of the kos is related to the original Su'uda and the Birkas HaMazon. That completes the Su'uda. And yet, on the other hand, we need a Seder Bracha of Havdalah. Now, normally speaking, we don't drink before Havdalah. Correct? But that's because we recited Birkas HaMazon. Now here, we're going to recite Birkas HaMazon first, before Havdalah. In fact, that's even true according to, even if you go like according to Rabbi Yehuda, is that everybody agrees that Havdalah is Besof, and everybody agrees that Birkas HaMazon is Betchila, and yet, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's very good. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the first thing that you do is Birkas HaMazon. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And that means that you've already terminated a Sudas Chol. The next drinking would already be after Havdalah, and there's no problem then. And then there's no problem. So we finish with Birkas HaMazon first, and now there's no stira, there's no contra against drinking the kos. We'll just organize other brachas on the same kos, namely Havdalah, and then we'll drink the kos. But according to Beis Hillel Beit Shammai and Rabbi Meir's frame of reference, it becomes a little bit odd because you've already set up Havdalah on a kos, but you haven't yet completed your Suda Shabbos. Now, if you haven't completed your Suda Shabbos and you've already recited Havdalah, it's very odd that now you're going to set up a kos of Birkas HaMazon, which belongs to
right.
to a Suda Shol.
It's so pressing, according to Ramir, to say Havdalah.
The reason why I think Havdalah is pressing is because Havdalah has a moment in time. It has what I call a Shas Chovoso. The Motzi Shabbos is Mechayev and Havdalah. For example, there's Tashlumin. Let's say, for example, you could make Havdalah as long as Tuesday is concerned, but that's all Tashlumin to replace the Motzi Shabbos. Motzi Shabbos is the moment of Havdalah. And you're not allowed to eat before Havdalah, you're not allowed to do Malacha before Havdalah, maybe many different Yisum, because that's time. Birkas HaMazon is not time bound. I mean, it could be that it's time bound in the sense that there's something called equal. You know, at some point or other, the food digests in your stomach. So let's just see the next sugya, because I just realized it's getting pretty late. Rav Yaakov bar Abba Ikla Lebe Rava, and we're talking about the main meal on Shabbos. And Chazya, he noticed the Borech Borei Priyagof and Akasa Kama. So he starts his meal with Kiddush, and he recites Borei Priyagof and on Kiddush, and okay, and now what happens? They bring out a kos for Birkas Hamazon. And now the sugya addresses the following question: is there a need to recite another Birkas Hamazon? Another Borei Priyagof. So what happened was that Rava recited a second Borei Priyagof. Al kosa de birchas, meaning the kosa birchas hamazav ishti, and then he drank the second kosa. How many times did Rava recite Borei Priyagofen in the same meal? Twice. He recited Borei Priyagofen in Kiddush and Borei Priyagofen in birchas hamazav. On Olay, so Rav Yaakov turns to Rava and he says, "Lomel chakuli hai, why did you need a second bracha for birchas hamazav, for the yayin of birchas hamazav? Habarach lamar chadazim, you already made. Why can't the Borei Priyagofen of Kiddush bridge the Borei Priyagofen at the end of the meal on the Birkas HaMazon?" In other words, basically, according to Rav Yaakov, Birkas HaMazon is not a wedge between the original Borei Priyagofen and the Yayin that you're going to drink after Birkas HaMazon. And the reason for that is because that yayin is also part of the Suda. Now it's Havdalah, Birkas Hamazon and yayin is one entity. It's one indivisible unit. And therefore there's no reason why the kickoff Borei Priyagof that starts the meal shouldn't cover the bookends, you know, the what do they call it in football when you finally get into the end zone, right? What's it called, the end zone? I guess every sport has its own thing. He says, Amalei, so Rava says to him, Ki avinon beresh galus achi avdin. I'm not the originator here. I was in the house of the Resh Galusa, and the Resh Galusa was the giant scholar, and he in fact made a separate bracha on the coast of Birkas HaMazon. Amar Leiser of Yaakov turns to Rav and he says, "No, you have no right to imitate the Resh Galusa. There's a special reason, a pressing reason, why in the case of Resh Galusa, a second bracha was recited on the coast of Birkas HaMazon. Tenech Bei Resh Galusa Da'avi Ovid. Why? The Safek Maisilon, Safek Lo Maisilon, which literally means, but we have to see what it really means, is that they had a doubt as to whether or not they would bring Yayin for Birkas HaMazon." So the Rashbam explains, no, it was definitely clear that they would bring out Yayin for Birkas HaMazon, but generally speaking, in the house of the Resh Galusa, who got the kos of Birkas HaMazon? Who would drink that kos? It was the one who was designated with the honor of making the bracha. In those days, one person made the Birkas HaMazon on behalf of everyone, and in the Bei Resh Galusa, they insisted that he, the Mavarech, would drink from the kos. All other people who were at the, we'll call it the Shara HaMesubin, who were at the meal of the Resh Galusa, they never anticipated that they would get a chance to drink from the Birkas HaMazon, from the kos of Birkas HaMazon. So when they heard the bracha at the beginning of the Suda, they did not have kavana, they did not have in mind that bracha would cover even the kos of Birkas HaMazon. It's interesting, the halach in Birkas HaNenim is that you have to have das. Let's say, for example, you have many fruits on the table, so you make a bar priates on one fruit, but you had das to eat as many fruits as you need to eat. Here, he didn't have kavana for the kos of Birkas HaMazon because he didn't know whether they would divvy it out, and therefore he needed a new bracha on the kos of Birkas HaMazon. I think if I understand Rabbi Yaakov correctly, the Mavarech himself should not have to recite a bar priagof because, well, maybe he didn't know that he would get the honor of reciting Birkas HaMazon, but if, let's say, somebody tipped him off before the meal started, before Kiddush, that he was going to be the Mavarech, then El Chinami, maybe he would need a separate Birkas HaMazon, a separate Bari Priya Gofen after Birkas HaMazon. But Hacha, here in our case, HaManach Kassel Kaman, it was very clear from the beginning of the Suda that there would be Yayin, you know, there was ample Yayin to give out to all the Mesubim. So everybody, Daitei Luya, should have had Das at the time of the Bari Priya Gofen that kicked off the meal, that Bari Priya Gofen would cover all the wine in the meal, including the wine that's to be drunk after the Birkas HaMazon. Omalei, so Rava said, you know what? If you're not happy with the fact that I was imitating what I saw in the Reish Galus's house, I saw it in another place as well. I know after I was fulfilling or imitating the Talmidim of Rav, and he tells now a story to Rav Bruno, Rav Hananel. These two Talmidim, outstanding Talmidim of Rav Aviyasvi b'Seuda, they were sitting in a Suda, and now we turn to Kuf Gimel on the base. Koi Alayhu, Rav Yeba Saba was the Meshamesh, he was standing over them. Omulei, so they told Rav Yeba Saba, Havlon, give us, it's time to bring out the kos of Birkas HaMazon, v'nevarech. This is what we call Havlon Unavari. So basically, that they've made a declaration at this point that the Suda is over, they're ready for Birkas HaMazon. Lisof, at the end, they changed their mind. Amrule, and they said to the Shamish, Rabbi Yeba, Havlon Vinishte. Let's continue our meal and let's drink some more wine. Amar Luhus, Rav Yeba said to them, Hachi Omar Rav, this is what I heard from my master Rav, Kevan Dabri, so once you've made that declaration, Avlon Nevarech, Itzara Lechula Mishteh, you have prohibited upon yourself any subsequent drinking, my time, and why is that so? The Aschisu Dataichu, you were Mesech Das, once you had Hesech Das, it means you decided that the meal is over, you've made that decision, now you need a new bracha if you want to drink before that, and the truth is that now you've made a decision and you're not allowed to make a new bracha. First you have to recite Birkas HaMazon. So Rava said, I made a Kal V'Chomer, and I figured that in our case, if I'm going to recite Birkas HaMazon, then I have to start a new meal, and if I drink the wine of Birkas HaMazon, I have to make a bracha. In other words, basically, Rava disagrees with the very premise that underlies the entire sugya. The premise that underlies the sugya from the get-go of Rav Yaakov is that Birkas HaMazon is not a hefsek. That the yayin that you drink after Birkas HaMazon, which is the yayin of Birkas HaMazon, is part of the sud itself. So the original Birkas HaMazon should suffice. Comes along Rav and he says, I learned from the Talmidim of Rav a very important principle, that Birkas HaMazon is a wedge that separates between the Seuda and the drinking of the wine after Birkas HaMazon. The drinking of the wine after Birkas HaMazon doesn't in any way attach itself to the Seuda, and therefore any bracha of Bor Priya Gofen during the Seuda is completely disconnected, and it's not chal vis-a-vis the Shtiyas HaYayin of Birkas HaMazon. So just to summarize, it seems from this sugya that there's a fundamental chakira here, a machlokes, as to how to understand and define the status of the yayin that we drink after Birkas HaMazon. Should we view and define that yayin as part of the suda, or should we say no, the Birkas HaMazon already terminated that suda, and any yayin that we drink after the suda requires its own bracha? And now the Gemara goes on, we don't have time for this, but the Gemara goes on to tell us another story about Amemar and Marzutra and Ravashi. They were all sitting at a Suda during the week, and the one who was Meshamish them in this case was Rav Acha Berei de Rava. And Amemar, who was one of the giant scholars that was sitting at this meal, Baruch Al Kol Kosa V'Kosa, every time they poured for him a kos of Yayin during the course of the meal, he would make another Bar Priya Gofen. And Marzutra Baruch Hakasa Kama Vakasa Basra. Marzutra, on the other hand, only recited a Birkas HaMazon, a Bar Priya Gofen, on the first kos that he drank, and on the last kos, which is the kos of Birkas HaMazon. So the Gemara analyzes this. Why is this so? Rav Ashi, he had a third of a minhag. His minhag was Baruch HaKasa Kama. He only made one bracha of Bar Piagraf, Vesula Baruch. He held that the Birkas HaMazon is not a hefsek, and therefore the Bar Piagraf that began the meal is chal even vis-a-vis the Shtiyas HaYayin of Birkas HaMazon. Amar Lahu Rav Acha Bar Rava. Rav Acha Bar Rava turns now to Amemar and to Mar Zutrava, and he says, "Ana kiman navit." How are we knowing? There's so many different minhagim here. What should be our meaning? He says, "Amemar Amar Nimlach Ana." The reason why I made a bracha every single time I drank another kos is because Nimlach means I had to make a change in plans. In other words, I never had das that I would drink so many different kosos. And the balabasta, you know, she brought out another kos. So between one kos and the other, I always had hesek hadas. Like we discussed before, when you say havla nevarach, that's a hesek hadas. And if I need a brach on each kos, Mar Zutra Amar, he said, no. Ana, I only made a brach on the first kos and the second kos. Avdi kitalmidi de Rav, like the story we had of Rav before, that it wasn't enough to make a bar priya gofer on the first kos. In that case, it was the kos of Kiddush. They had to make another bracha on a bar priya gofen that came subsequent to Birkas HaMazon, because Birkas HaMazon terminated the Suda. Rav Ashi Omar, Rav Ashi says, less hilchasa kitalmidi de Rav. We don't pass like the talmidi de Rav that Rav Yeba said to them that you're not allowed to drink without a bracha, but rather Birkas HaMazon is not a hefsek, and therefore all I need is the first Bari Priya Gofen. I didn't have hefsek hadas for future additional kosos of Yayin, and therefore one Bari Priya Gofen could suffice. And even as far as the Shtiyas Yayin of Birkas HaMazon, I don't need another bracha. To Yontif Shechal Lios Achara Shabbos, in the case of Yontif that falls out on Motzi Shabbos, Omar Rav Yakneh. Again, the Haz, the Zion is missing, but basically it's Yayin Kiddush Ner Havdolah, and it doesn't mention anything about Bari Priya Gofen. Why wasn't there an additional bracha of Bari Priya Gofen? The answer is that the Bari Priya Gofen that began the Yayin, right? And that's the Bari Priya Gofen of Kiddush, that could also suffice for Havdolah. I don't need a separate Bari Priya Gofen for Havdolah, but rather one Bar Priya Gofen suffices. And the Gemara says that Velohi, that's not really a proof at all. The Hasam Akar Daite Mimishte, Hachalo Akar Daite Mimishte. In the case where he recited Birkas HaMazon, then he had a Hesek Hadas. That was the termination of his Suda. But here in the case of Motzei Shabbos, Yaknahaz, Lo Akar Daiti Mishte, because he wants to organize his Kiddush and then his Havdalah, all on one Kos of Yayin. So the Kos of Yayin is Chal for everything, both for the Kiddush and for the Havdalah, and therefore there was no Hesek Hadas. So this is where we want to stop over here. Kimata, what time is it now? It's already 9:30, no?
9:32.
Okay, so Bli Neder, we'll pick this up next week. Does anybody have a pencil here? I thought I had a pencil. Oh, here it is. Okay, just that I want to be able to, make a note of where we got up to.
There's no Zion.
Yeah, in this case, the reason why there's no Zman is because... who remembers what we said before about why there was no Zman? Oh, he was covering also a case of Shvi Shel Pesach. Okay, and there's no Shechiyonah for Shvi Shel Pesach.
Right.
That's it. That's what we said last time.